Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Juwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6. We're going to start reading from verse 6. It says, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and he stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking around about upon them all, he said, unto the man, Stretch forth your hands. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other." Amen. Hallelujah. So please note that story. There was a man whose right hand had been withered for a long time. Everybody knew him, that his right hand was withered. And Jesus happened to be speaking on that day. And the man was there, and a lot of people were there looking at him. Observing the entire thing. Now, it was a Sabbath day, and you know the Jewish people don't walk, they don't do anything on the Sabbath day. But Jesus told the man to stand up in the midst of everybody, and he healed that man, despite all the objections of the people. And he made a statement there that healing and delivering people, that's in verse 9, is doing good. Everybody say after me, say healing and deliverance is good. He said in verse 9, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? So Jesus said, delivering and freeing people, healing people, is good. Any other thing apart from that is evil. Say after me, say freedom, healing, deliverance is good. Any other thing apart from this is evil. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Doing good. Everybody say after me, say doing good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. He went about doing good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So the Bible tells us again here that healing of oppression is good. And that's what Jesus Christ did. So say after me, say healing of oppression is good. And that's what Jesus does. Say after me, say that's what Jesus does. That's what he does. Healing of oppression is good. And that's what Jesus specializes in doing. Luke chapter 4. the book of Luke chapter 4. Jesus went about, when he was here on the earth, he went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Now, in Luke chapter 4, the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, we see him coming out and declaring what he came to do. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says, and he came to Nazareth. He came to Nazareth, verse 16, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there he delivered unto him, there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Everybody, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Verse 18. The Spirit, everyone, let's read it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this was the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, and you can say what you are reading right now is his manifesto, that this is what I came to do. And he declares it, number one, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. So the first thing that Jesus came to do is to preach. Everybody say, preach. Now, preach what? The good news to the poor. So he came to proclaim good news to the poor. And then secondly, he came to heal. Everybody say, heal. So Jesus came to preach, to heal the brokenhearted. And number three, to preach deliverance to the captives. So Jesus had the captives on his mind, those who were bound by things. That was his focus. And recovering of sight to the blind. So he had the blind, spiritually blind and physically blind. And then to set at liberty those who are bruised. Hallelujah. So he's talking about those who are wounded. That's what the word means. Those who are wounded. They've been wounded in their souls, wounded in the past. They've been wounded by people, wounded by the circumstances of life, wounded by something. Jesus says that it is because of you that I have come. I came to preach liberty to those who are wounded. Amen. So in this month of July, we're going to be focusing as a church on this aspect of the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus to set people free. Amen. We're going to be focusing on walking in our freedom. Thank you. Walking in our freedom as individuals, walking in our freedom as a church, and also proclaiming that freedom to other people. My prayer is that at the end of this month, anyone who is in this place or anybody who is watching, who is following this, that if there's anything that is holding you down, anything that you've been bound with, whether it is an addiction, a wound that is inside of you, whether it is physical, whether it is mental, emotional, whatever area of life, my prayer is that everyone will walk in their freedom this month. Can I hear a better amen? If you are standing in faith with me, come on, shout a better amen. Say after me, say, by God's power, through the freedom that comes from the Word of God, this month of July, I will begin to experience a new level of freedom in my life. Everything that has held me down. Everything that has been a bondage through the power of God, I am released from them in the name of Jesus. Why don't you rise up on your feet and join your hand with your neighbor? And let's just pray in the spirit over that right now. I want you to pray. Let's just pray over those scriptures. That God, Jesus Christ, will do the good that he has in mind in this place. We have to cooperate with him. We have to cooperate with him. We have to cooperate with him. Let's pray. So part of how we cooperate with God is through prayer. Prayer is invoking God. So I want you to speak to him and just, you know, say, Lord Jesus, move in our midst this month. Move in our midst this month, oh Lord. Move in our midst this month. Oh Lord, move in our midst this month and just walk your freedom in this place. Walk your freedom in this place. Walk your freedom in our midst. God answers prayers. He answers our prayers specifically. So let's pray. Let's pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. And then pray for us. Pray that, Lord, you will release your freedom in this place today. This month, oh Lord. This month, everything that holds us down, everything that is a hindrance. Father, Lord, we thank you because you will set us free. Thank you for a revelation of truth. Thank you. Ask God for a revelation of truth that sets you free. A revelation of truth that sets you free. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, we pray for freedom even as your word goes forth. We pray, Lord, that there will be freedom of expression. Thank you, Lord, because hearts are opened. We come against every spirit that closes the hearts of people to your word, every distraction. Lord, every blockage, right now, by the authority of the name of Jesus, we command them to be removed right now. We thank you, Lord, because of absolute focus in your word that brings freedom. We look to you, O Lord, and not to any other thing. We look to your word because we know your word is what brings the truth. I pray, Lord, that the precious treasure you have placed within your people will come forth. Will come forth. And every physical, spiritual thing that is hindering it, O Lord, by your mighty power, those things are removed this month. O Lord, Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you. Maseke yalabahaste. We thank you, Lord. We declare that freedom. We declare that freedom for everybody that walk into this place today and everybody that walk into this place this month in the name of Jesus and everyone that we're going to come with. Father, Lord, we thank you for that anointing. Because as your word comes forth, people will begin to get set free. They'll be free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We believe we have received it right now. And we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may please be seated. Let's pay full attention and not be distracted by anything. If your child is making noise, you can just take your child downstairs. The TV is there. You can watch this thing from there. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. Now, we all know one way or the other what freedom means. We celebrated freedom yesterday. The freedom of a nation. The British had ruled the colonies for a long time. People were being taxed without representation. Their hard labor, most of their earnings were going to the king. And it got to a point that, you know, the burden was so much that some people got together and they wrote the Declaration of Independence, declaring that we're declaring ourselves free from the rulership of this king. Because all men are created equal. And everybody has a right to life, to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So it is not the king, the nobles, and then the peasants. So the king has everything, and then the peasants have nothing. That everybody was created equal. And so they decided that they were going to form a nation that had the ideal of freedom for everyone, where everyone can determine their own destiny and not have to bow to a king. Now, before that could happen, there was a fight that had to take place. And that's the first thing I want you to write down today, if you are writing or to note in your spirit, that freedom does not come without a fight. Please write it down. Freedom does not come without a fight. Freedom does not happen automatically. Freedom is not just something bestowed that does not require you to put up a fight to hold on to it. There's a stand that is required for you to be free. May I ask you all to just take your eyes off your cell phones right now and just look at me. Amen. That's one thing we need freedom from also. Amen. Somebody say, I declare my freedom from for my cell phone. Amen. Let's talk. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't worry, they'll project all the Bible verses for you. Just look at me this time. Let's have a conversation. Amen. A lot of things, you know, we're getting bound by. So, we're declaring freedom. Amen. So, freedom does not come without a fight. There's a fight that is involved in any kind of freedom. And so, when this... I was saying that there's a stand, and I love the scripture that my wife read, Galatians 5 verse 1, says that you should stand fast, or stand therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So the word stand there speaks of a fight. It speaks of a resolve. There is a resolve required and a fight required for you to walk in freedom. Amen. So these individuals who wrote the Declaration of Independence, they knew that there was going to be a fight. And there was a fight, there was a war. And they had to fight. A bunch of ragtag people didn't have as much power. Their army was not as strong as that of the Great Britain. But they fought. And they won. And we celebrate that. That's what we celebrate this weekend. That victory of a nation being born that's supposed to have a new ideal. But you know that even after that fight and the nation was formed, not everybody in the nation was free yet. Because those people who fought to free themselves from the king still had slaves. And so, that continued. But some people rose up again and fought. They fought. In fact, the entire nation went to war. There was a civil war over the issue. And during that time, Abraham Lincoln came and declared what is called the Emancipation Proclamation that declared all slaves free. Amen. There was resistance that got to that point. But still yet, everyone was not yet free. Because it was legally declared that everybody was emancipated, but there were still all kinds of things in place to hold people down. Segregation, Jim Crow, all kinds of things. And I remember that famous speech, which everybody knows, when Martin Luther King Jr. stood in 1963, and said that we've come to Washington to cash a check. And that check was what was written in the Declaration of Independence that all men were created equal. But now, not everybody is enjoying that freedom, and that we've come to cash it on behalf of the black people. And there was resistance. There was a fight. And took a fight. And then the segregation and all those things began to be dealt with. But there's still so much to fight. Amen. That's not the only fight. And it's not only in the United States that has taken place. It's been taking place all around the world. It's the apartheid, in every place. Now that's talking about on a national scale. The fight goes on. Hallelujah. But there's a principle we can learn from that. And that's what I want to illustrate. That, number one, freedom requires a fight. That's the first thing. Freedom requires a fight. Number two, even though freedom is legally given, it does not equate to experience. So the fact that a law says you are free does not equate to the fact that you are actually experiencing freedom. Amen. Are you getting that? So number one, what's number one? Say for me. Freedom requires a fight. Number two, even though freedom is legally given, there's still a fight required for it to be vitally experienced. So somebody can be legally free, but not vitally free. There's a fight that is involved. That's principle number three. Number two. Now, number three. And we're going to be, moving it into our own lives right now. Number three, freedom always comes when truth is known and the manifestation or the activation of truth is demanded. Everybody say truth. Freedom comes when truth is known. And the actualization of that truth in real time is demanded. So freedom is always related to truth. Freedom is always related to truth. The greatest bondage that anybody can have is ignorance. It's ignorance. What you don't know, what you are not aware of, holds you in bondage. So truth is how freedom comes. Truth is how freedom comes. Amen. To be free, we have to engage in truth. We have to use truth. We have to live truth. We have to fight with truth. Every time there's a lie, there's darkness, there's a cover-up, there won't be freedom. So freedom comes when truth comes out. I want you to note those three principles that I'm laying a foundation, because we're going to be exploring them and looking into them more and deeper this month. Can somebody repeat the three of them for me? One, two, let's go. I can hear two people. That's Pastor Omo and Miriam. All right, one, two, go. Number one. Number two. Number three. What did you say? Did I give you three or four? Good. All right. So truth. So that's why Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 32. Look at it. John chapter 8 and verse 32. John 8:32. You know, and you can move from the KJV now. I know I started with the KJV because I have a KJV Bible there. KJV is nice, very poetic, but we don't speak the language of KJV now. So it makes no sense to be preaching with it. You can read it on your own, but to be preaching with it sometimes doesn't make sense. I mean, for me, amen. Then you will know the truth. And what will happen? What sets free? So you need to understand that. That's, you know, on the principle number three. You don't set yourself free. It is truth that sets free. It's a revelation of truth that sets you free. Truth. When you suddenly know the truth, then you can be free. So if I was an oppressor and I want to keep you in bondage, what am I going to keep you from? I'm going to keep you from knowing the truth. I will either feed your mind with a lie, or I will keep you from encountering or having an experience with the truth. I'm going to keep you in a lie. That's the secret of the oppressor. Whenever you want to keep people oppressed, keep them from being enlightened. Because once they become enlightened, they will get their freedom. Because truth has the ability to set people free. Amen. So now, let's bring it down home. I know I've been talking, but it's good to bring, you know, to have some kind of points like that. We're able to bring it into our own lives and, you know, spiritual stuff that we're dealing with. Now, as many of you have already started now, you've started working in God's purpose for your life or endeavoring to know it, to walk in it. Many of you, if not all, you are born again. You've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you really want to please Him. You really want to serve Him. You really want to live a life that pleases Him. But then what do you see? You find that as you begin to do that, the more you start to focus on doing that, the more you begin to notice that there are some elements showing up in your life that is exactly contrary to what you would like to be or what you would like to do. Am I the only one who is going through that, or can I get a witness in the house? Can we say some truth? Amen. This month. All right? The more focused you become, the more you begin to discover different things rising up in you, and you are like, that is not me. The more you find yourself struggling. You are not the only one going through it. All of us go through it. In fact, Paul the Apostle says it this way in Romans 7:22. Romans 7:22. After Paul had declared all the things happening to him, Romans 7:22, he got to a point. He said, in my inner being, I delight in God's law. Everybody say, in my inner being, I delight in God's law. In other words, something inside of me wants to do what is right. Verse 7:23. But I find another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. So inside of me, I want to do what is right. Inside of me, I want to live right. Inside of me, I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to use drugs anymore. I don't want to smoke reefers anymore. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good wife. I want to stop getting angry and losing my temper. I want to be more loving. I want to be more kind. I want to be pure in my thoughts. I want to be sexually pure. I want to do all this stuff. I want to be faithful. I want to be temperate. I want to be able to control myself. That's the desire I have. And if you see me praying, this is what Paul was saying, praying. I'm praying, oh God, just help me do this thing. If people could just see me alone, that's what I'm doing. I'm saying, God, just help me. This is what I desire. I want to be like you. I want to follow you. I want to do that. There's a desire in my spirit to do that. But I find another law in my member, in my body, making me a prisoner of the law. Another factor is working. There's a form of a certain form of inertia, a weight, a force that seems to overpower me, that I end up doing the opposite of what I actually desire to do. And I find myself failing, falling, rising, falling, rising, falling, rising, on fire, down, excited, depressed. Victorious, defeated. Most people don't know it, because this struggle that we're talking about is usually a personal struggle. If you are married, your wife may not know it. Your husband may not know it. Your friends may not know it. Many of these battles are battles that take place behind closed doors. They take place in the privacies that we enjoy. It's one of the definitions of being human. Amen. And then you discover that you find yourself, after rising and falling, either of two things. Either of two things. The first one is you resign and say, you know what, that's me. That's just me. Somebody has come to me before and shared and said, you know what? I told myself I'm going to carry this thing to the grave. That's it. I've struggled enough. I'm going to take this thing to the grave. There's really no, I mean, I've tried everything. I have prayed. I've fasted. I have, you know, everything. You know, prophetic meeting, walk seven. I took seven steps. I did everything. I get back. After taking the seventh step, the moment I get home, it's like I'm back. I'm going to take it to the grave. And so you say, you know what? That's me. That's just me. And then that leads to rationalization. You understand? It's a path. So you, when it's done over and over and all that, then it leads to a rationalization that, you know what? Somehow, the conscience gets seared, and then somehow you just conclude that, you know what, I think it is just normal. I think that's just it, you know. It's really not a sin. It's really not, you know, I think that's it. That's me, and that's it. So that's one part of me. I'm going to leave that, but, you know, there's another part of me, the inward part of me, that really wants to serve God. So that's one way that you can. The other way is you can get to a point of depression. In other words, after you fought and fought and you keep falling, you can get to a mental state where you lose all confidence in yourself. You lose all confidence in yourself, and you are just so discouraged there that some people even get to a point where they become manic depressive. Or some people even commit suicide, especially when their conscience is very strong, when they go to church, especially a church that just tells you what is bad, what you got to do right, and all that, but never teaches you how to actually walk in the freedom of Christ. So you see people turn mental, they go to the mental institutions. I don't know if any of you has ever done that before, but I have had the experience a few times of going to those mental institutions. You discover that many of the people who are in the mental institution, they quote the Bible. Do you know that? I know we are doctors and they quote the Bible. In fact, a lot of them, what they say is that, I have committed the unpardonable sin. The devil tells them that they've committed the unpardonable sin. Don't play it yet, though. Because I'm just starting. You can play it, but you know, all right. I have committed what? The unpardonable sin. Don't commit the unpardonable sin. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, in the summer, we need to really get into the Word because there's so much going on. You know, there's so much going on that just takes us away from the Word. And that's when a lot of people lose their juice and they get into all kinds of stuff. So you need to load up. Amen. I know you are leaving this place now. There's a lot waiting for you, but load up. Tell anyone, say load up. Load up. Because that's your only freedom. Okay. So, depression or rationalization. But do you know what there's? No, there's a middle path. There's another way to handle it. There's a way of truth. There's a way to handle it. There's a way to handle it. And that way is to actually, through God's word, find what it takes to be free. You can be free from pornography. You can be free from masturbation. You can be free from drug addiction. You can be free from every one of these things. But there's a way, and that's the way we want to look at this month. You see, these things, they come, you understand? You know, we have a human nature, right? Which the Bible calls our flesh. And then we have the inward man. That's what Paul was talking about. I delight in the law of God, which the Bible calls our spirit. Now, so that we will not enjoy the fullness of life that God has for us, so that we will not fulfill our purpose, or so that we can mess up. How many of you have seen people mess up their lives before? You know, have you seen people mess up their life before? I have seen it. I've seen husband mess up their lives, wives mess up. I've seen pastors, I've seen, you know. But there was an incident that happened recently that I wept so much. You know, it was very painful because it's like, because of someone's action, everything that that person had built up, someone close, you know, everything that that person had built up was completely destroyed. And the person has to start all over again, but starting with a cloud. Everybody's quiet. This is a sober month, amen. It's a very sober month. But it's a month of freedom. Because, you know, freedom requires contemplation and just taking time to think. So people have messed. So this thing, I want you to know that these things come so that you can mess up your life. These things come so that we can mess up for the next generation. These things come so that you will lose credibility. These things happen so that we will not be able to reach the fullness of God's purpose and plans for us. That's why they come. So I want you to know that they are enemies. Amen. They are enemies. And listen, your greatest enemies are not the ones that you face in the open that everybody knows about. Your greatest enemies are the ones that you face in the secret. They are the ones that eventually pull you down when you get to the prime. An enemy that is not dealt with, a secret enemy that is not dealt with, will come up at the point where you are supposed to be enjoying your greatest success and pull you down. Let me tell you one thing, everyone. Please, don't have secrets. When I say don't have secrets, I don't mean that you don't keep anything secret. You understand what I'm saying? Don't have something out there or somewhere or somebody or whatever that is there. And you think, you know, the person is going to keep quiet. No. All it takes is for the season to come and for you to do something to trigger it. That's the way Satan traps people. Everyone following God will discover that sooner or later that the greatest hindrance is not something outside of you, but yourself. Somebody said the greatest enemy is the enemy in me. You will discover that's the greatest enemy. Paul, so the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12 chapter 1, calls these things weights. Some of them are sins, some of them are weights. And what a weight does is it comes to entangle you, to slow you down, so that you keep tripping and you grow older and older and you never ever reach your full potential in life. It attacks individuals and it attacks families, so that the family will never reach its full potential. Do you know that families are potentials? Not all families reach their potential. Some men mess up their family. Some women mess up their family. Wise woman builds her house. Some children, they're supposed to start from a higher pedestal, but they have to start lower just because of what the parent did. Maybe because the parent could just not control the emotion of a moment and then brings complication. So these things are to hinder. These things are to throw us off. These things are to hold us. The weight. They are weight. They are supposed to weigh us down so that we don't get to it. So they are enemies. They are enemies. We shouldn't take them as friends. We shouldn't take them as part of our lives. We should acknowledge the reality of them, that they are there. We shouldn't deny that they are there. But we should trust God to be free from them. Some of these things are expressions. They are in our lives. How did they come in? Some of those things came not as a result of your fault. Some of them came because of what you were exposed to growing up. Some of these things came. Some came genetically. You can use that word. Some of them came because of the prevailing atmosphere that is around us, or that was around you. Some came because of books, because of things you watched, things you read, and all that. A lot of these things come. They came. Some came because somebody abused you when you were young. Somebody took advantage of you and left a scar and a mark on you that up till today still dictates and controls your life. So there are some that many people did not self-cause it. Now there are some that we self-cause because we expose ourselves. Because of the ubiquitousness of all this computer stuff, and just we expose ourselves because we can watch things, watch TV, do everything everywhere. We expose ourselves to things that weigh us down some more and keep our spirit imprisoned and stop us from living the fullness of life that God created us to live. So some are self-caused. Some were not self-caused. They are wounds that others inflicted, and they hold us down. A woman who is married, who cannot have sex with her husband because a man abused her when she was younger, and so she sees men as, you know, what do you call it? As abusers. Or a man who was introduced to sex very young, at a very young age and had multiple sexual partners and has come to a point where the mind has been divided. When I say the mind has been divided, this is a scientific term. The fact that, you know, we have neural pathways and all that in our minds, and it has gotten to a point where those things have been built up, that there's a conclusion that the only way I can have sexual satisfaction is if I have multiple partners. What about inner wounds of abuse? Words that were spoken in abuse in such a way that every action of others is judged based on that perspective, because you think that they're going to take advantage of you and talk about you exactly the same way that that person used to talk to you. They are married men, married Christian men. Some of them, their wives don't even know that they're going through this struggle, but it's every man's struggle. And even their married Christian women, that they don't know, that their husbands don't know that they are going through the struggle. You know, especially if, you know, in your marriage, there's not a lot of openness. Let me tell you something. No matter the law that you're using in your marriage, you understand, there are some basic principles of marriage. And that's part of what we used to teach in the premarital counseling. One of the basic principles of marriage is that there must not be a secret part of your life that your spouse cannot have access to. There must not be a secret part of your life that your wife cannot have access to. So if you have a phone, you have a computer, you have emails, you have an account, you have some money somewhere, you have something somewhere that your spouse does not have access to, you are either cheating on your spouse or you are preparing yourself to cheat. The temptation is so great. And I want spouses not to deceive themselves. In fact, I'm going to say, a man, demand it from your wife. Woman, demand it from your husband. And if they don't want to open up, report them to me. Amen. I will visit your house. Amen. Baby, if I don't do it to you, report me to Pastor Omo. You get what I mean? Everything is open. We prepare ourselves to fall when we allow those secrets. We don't have those guards. We don't have those things. Because evil thrives in darkness. There's accountability is very important. I'll say, Pastor Lyon, the way you're preaching this month is, you know, Amen. Amen. I'm pastor in this place. I'm tired of, you know, dealing with some things. Amen. I want to deal with it with the word of God. Amen. So, I really have to round up. But, you know, I'm going to continue, you know, next week. But we're just getting started. Amen. But this is where I want, because I want to end this with, I don't like preaching. The gospel is good news. Everybody says good news. So if you know me for a while, I don't like preaching bad news. Amen. But sometimes we have to bring the reality out so that everybody can see it. Amen. So that, you know, we come to church and all that, and all of us look so nice. We wear all this wonderful cloth and we say all that. We lift our hands and all that. And we do all that. That a lot of things are going on. In fact, many people are not able to worship. They are not able to worship well. Or they don't even love worship. Or they cannot even lift their hand. They cannot worship because their emotions are gone. There are men who have thrown their emotions away because of multiple sexual partners. Who have thrown their emotions away because every time you let loose, the children are out of this place, right? Everybody's mature. Every time you release your seed, you are releasing a part of your spirit, soul, body. And the only place you can release it into that gives you back is a woman that is committed in covenant to you. If you release it any other place, you lose a part of you. And before long, you cannot even say, I love you anymore.
And even if you say it, you are just lying because you have lost the ability to do it. You have lost your soul. You cannot even worship God. When you're talking before God and saying, "Oh Lord, I worship you," it's like you are lying to yourself. So you just run away from His presence because you've lost it. And there are some women also who have things happening to them that they cannot even explain. They can't explain it. The only reason why that is happening is because you've allowed somebody, because a man loses during the sexual act, a woman gains during the sexual act. The physical one is, you know, is the one you should know. That's how it works. So the man doesn't get a belly. You get what I'm saying? The woman receives and gets a belly. Now that's spirit, that's physical. But that one is physical. And you can stop that by birth control. But there's another aspect of sex that birth control cannot control. Amen. That part, you understand, you receive some things from the man. You receive his emotion. You receive his curses. You receive his characteristics. And before you know it, you will discover that you have yourself trapped inside something. You just can't know what is trapping you. You want to do what you used to do before. In fact, you do what you used to do before, but you find that there's a trap. There's just something on you that just doesn't want to get you free. You take a step and you find yourself falling down. Yeah, something has been transferred to you. So you take the struggle of the person. So the only way, that's the reason, the only way God designed this thing is that you are in covenant with a woman, and then as you do it, you give something for the man. The woman receives it, and then something comes from her to you. And he says, you know, you start looking alike after a while, you understand, because you are ministering to one another. Like that, in a committed covenant relationship. But if you do it any other place, you are throwing away your soul and throwing away your life. That's why that scripture says, "He that committed adultery lacketh understanding." Can you please find it for me? It's in Proverbs. It said, "He that committed adultery lacks understanding and what destroyeth or destroys his own soul." Destroys his own soul. Please, can you please find it for me? Proverbs, is it Proverbs 6 or something? Find it. He that commits adultery lacks understanding, lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys what? Himself. Now, the word self there, you know it. Go back to sister, the word self there. When the Bible talks about self, it's talking about your soul, you know, your soul. For example, the KJV says you destroy your soul. You destroy himself. Blows and disgrace are his love, and his shame will never be wiped away. Destroys the soul. So let's go to the good news, and I'm going to end with that. Everybody say good news. Good news. My good news to you is this. You need to understand that there are two parts to you. I mean, I'll say it's three parts, but I want to summarize it by saying two parts to you. There's the real you. Let me say the real me. There is the soulish you, right? And the body you. So, but I want to take the real you and your soul and body together, which the Bible calls your flesh. There is another you, the real you. It's the real you. That's the one that is fighting. That's the one that wants to do what is right. That's the one that says, "I want to be free." That's the one that God saved. That's the one that you have to focus on. And that's the one that will bring the victory. Amen. Paul used inner man. Rush through the Colossians. Ephesians 3:16 says, Paul was praying that we'll be strengthened in our inner man or in our inner being. Everybody touch your belly and say, "There's a inner me." Say, "There's a inner me." Say, I have a inner being. That's the real me. Say, don't judge me by what I do. There's a different me. There's a real me. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, though our outward man perishes, our inward person is being renewed day by day. 4:16. Our inward person is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. As a inner me. Ephesians 4:24 says, start from verse 23. Verse 23 says, 22. Say, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Everybody say, my old self. Say after me, say, my old self. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And to be made new in the attitudes of your mind. And to put on the new self. Created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. So Paul was saying that there is an old you. There was an old you, really. There was an old you. And then there is a new you. Now, the old you was trained. It was the one that was abused. The one that was trained in all those stuff for many years. And then you come to the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Jesus deals with the old you. He deals with the old you. Romans 6, it says, knowing that our old self has been crucified with Christ, that the embodiment of sin might be destroyed or done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So it comes and deals with the old you, that old you that had all those things. So this is the truth. The old you was annihilated when you received Jesus. And Jesus now came inside of you and did a miraculous work. The greatest miraculous work ever was that a new person was regenerated inside of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The word old, new creation there is from the Greek word. The word new there is from the Greek word kainos. Kainos. Kainos means a species that has never existed before. So when you get born again, there's a supernatural work that takes place. The old you was killed, was destroyed, and a new person, as innocent as a baby, was implanted inside of you and regenerated inside of you, and that person can never die. That person is sitting right there in you now. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This new creation of God that is the real you loves God. Say amen. This new creation loves righteousness, loves holiness, loves people, wants to do right, wants to do treat people right, knows what to say. This new creation is made up of love, joy, peace, self-control, made up of all those things. I call that person, I named that person for myself. I call him the Christ Lamb. Everybody say the Christ Lamb. Christ Lamb. So put your own name there. Christ what? No, I want you to say this. You know, seriously, this is, I told you got to fight, right? Because you got to let Christ life come, Christ land come out. Amen? Or Christ, whatever your name is. You got to let that person come out. And the only way it's going to come out is when you identify him correctly. Amen? And you talk to him. Because when the old man was before he was destroyed, the old one inside of you, before it was destroyed, he had programmed your mind for years. He had programmed your mind. You know, the wounds, all those things are there. Programmed you. Habits, bound. bound by them. And then you get born again and Christ comes inside of you and you are excited and you want to serve God. The old man has been dealt with, has been crucified, is no longer inside of you. Christ now lives inside of you. You now have a new man inside of you. But the new man is living in a mind that was programmed by the old man. The new man is living in a mind that was programmed by the old person. So you see yourself rising up, you come to church, you worship, but then the mind says, let's finish. And then you get back. It controls you again. It's not like the old man rose from the grave. Jesus dealt with the old man. Hallelujah. You know what needs to happen? The Christ is you. That is now in you. That looks like Christ, that loves like Christ, that thinks like Christ, that has the authority of Christ, that has the power of Christ, that loves the holiness of Christ, that loves people, that does right, that Christ you has to rise up and renew your mind through the Word of God. Has to reprogram your mind through the Word of God until you start thinking the way it thinks, not the way the old man thinks. That is the battle of every Christian. That is the battle for freedom. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be metamorphosed, in the Greek, transform, metamorphosis. Be metamorphosed, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may now begin to experience what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Now that if you want to walk in the perfect will of God, which is being free, which is freedom, whom the Son has set free is free indeed, the mind has to be reprogrammed. The mind has to be reprogrammed by the new man. Hallelujah. Do you get that? So that's the battle of every believer. Programming is tedious. Everybody say after me, say programming is tedious. Whether it is computer programming or self-programming, it is a tedious thing. Programming is tedious. But programming, right? Yeah, a programmer has some rules, right? The first thing is, what language, right? What language are you going to program with? If you program with the wrong language, you might not get your result. Or if you mingle languages together, you have to, what's the language? Now, every language has its syntax, its rules, the way it says things. Java is different from Xcode. It's different from C++. If you mingle the rules, the code will not work. The programming language of the believer. Lift up your Bibles, everyone, if you have one. Say, this is my programming language. Say, this contains the rules of my new life. This is the manual for freedom. This is your programming language. Some of you don't know that you are like an automated machine. Now listen, I know we have our wheels, but by now every one of you should know that it is not the things that you choose to do that you do. It is the things that you are moved to do that you do. Because you can choose to want to do what, how many of you have chosen that you want to exercise since the beginning of the year? I mean, every year you always choose you want to exercise, don't you? Is that what we call resolution? Right? This year, I'm going to be exercising. That is my choice. I will come to church. Yes! Everybody prays. This year, you shall do it. Yeah! And then you start. Week one. So week two. Then you wake up one morning. Your programming says, sleep. But I want to exercise. Why? Sleep. Let me sleep. Next week, and then you find out that That's how it stops. It's not what you choose to do. It's what you are programmed to do. It's what you've been programmed to do that you do. So in some ways, we are automated. There's a machine-like part of us, which is called the soul. If you program yourself, that's why you don't focus on changing behavior. You focus on changing beliefs. Freedom and change is not by changing behavior. It is by changing beliefs. The journey for change is not an external thing. It's an internal journey. You first of all have to change what you believe about yourself, what you believe about life. You have to change your epistemology. Amen. You know, what truth is to you? You have to change it. You have to change what you believe. That's where the work is. Until you change that, you will discover that you decide you want to do it, but you don't get it done. It is your programming that controls you. So simple thing. Find out what the truth is, which is the word. And then the second aspect of the programming, which is where I stop today, is that you must load it. Everybody say load it. You must load it into your hard drive. You must load the problem into your hard drive. Let it compile. Amen. And then let it do what it's supposed to do. How you load the program into your hard drive is by speaking the word to yourself. Psalm 45 verse 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of things concerning the king. My tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. Your tongue is like a pen that writes upon the tablet of your heart. You program yourself by what you say, what you hear. Not what you hear once, but what you keep on saying, what you keep on hearing. That is why the journey for freedom, the journey into freedom, is a journey of confession. It's a journey of what? Of confession. You cannot reprogram yourself by thinking. Because you don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words. You reprogram yourself by action. Habits are changed when you speak to yourself and your spirit or your subconscious catches it, and then you act out to convince it that this is what we do now. And it's going to take some time, and then it starts to reprogram itself. That is how this thing is done. And that's what we're going to learn this month. Amen. Is anybody blessed? Are you expectant? Okay, rise up on your feet. You are free. Amen. Let's rise up on our feet. Rise up on your feet. Hallelujah. We're going to pray to God. We're going to open up ourselves. Bring it. We're going to open up yourself. John 8 verse 31 says, he spoke to those Jews that believed in him. He said, if you abide in my word. Everybody say abide. Somebody say abide. Oh my, I can't hear you guys. Say abide. In other words, if you live inside this word, if you live inside my word, and I told you this is a battle. If you are going to win, if you are going to be successful, if you are going to beat this thing and win this thing and reprogram yourself, there has to be an abiding. You cannot do it by hearing it on Sunday alone. You cannot do it by hearing the word on Sunday and spending the rest of the week hearing other things. You've got to hear the word 24/7. Constantly driving in, because you are constantly being reprogrammed back. You cannot do it that way. You can't have your house, HBO is playing. What's the other one? CNN, and you know, that's all. And then you get into your car, it's Beyonce. I'm sorry, I don't know how to dance, but. And you get to your office, it's something else. And all you hear, some of you, I know you love politics and all of that. I love politics. But I have to curb myself from politics. Because sometimes, you understand, when you be something, is you can be obsessed with something. You go on Facebook and you talk. You do nothing. Just talk. You understand? Talk. There are better ways of handling things. Sometimes the best action to do, even when you are hurt, they said John the Baptist was killed John the Baptist was killed, and they came to meet Jesus, and they told him, and they said, John the Baptist was just killed unjustly. Number one, John the Baptist was the closest person to Jesus. He was his cousin. John the Baptist was the only person that believed in the ministry of Jesus at that time, that told them and said, this is the Lamb of God. And he was just killed by one woman. They said, Jesus withdrew himself into a quiet place. Watch his response. Said he withdrew himself into a quiet place. Sometimes withdraw yourself into some quietness. Shut your mouth. First of all. Then they said, secondly, then the people came around him. I said, and Jesus stood up and he healed all their sick. Sometimes you need to know who to direct your anger at. Many things that sometimes the devil does things just to keep our attention. It is called, what do they call it in warfare? When you are trying to distract people. Smoke screen, right? You understand? There are many smoke screens. You understand? That many of us, we get engaged in. Believers and we get engaged in smoke screens to take us away from our real purpose. Many of these battles, the battle of racism and all that, was won by spiritual and spiritually backed actions. They were not won by activists. They were won by, that's why you see, whether it is Wilberforce to Martin Luther King to the abolitionists. I mean, the woman that wrote, what is her name? Harriet Beecher Stowe, that wrote, what's that book? In Uncle Tom's Cabin. This one was coming from a revival and she saw a vision of the entire book. That book went and got to the hand of Abraham Lincoln. That is part of what changed the whole of the nation. There was a spiritual backing to their fight. It is not all these things you do on Facebook and talk, you know, abuse one policeman, abuse all that, and all that. All the things that the news media are feeding you, many things that are politically based. It's time to be Christians. It is time to have spiritual fortitude to really fight and win these battles. And you only do that when you have a spiritual grounding yourself. Sometimes the right thing is for you to just walk around and look in your neighborhood. Begin to speak on behalf of those. Begin to work with the children. Begin to do those things. Begin to use the opportunity you have to do what you need to do, than all the things of wasting your time and discussing nonsense on Facebook. I mean, you're talking to an activist. I used to fight. I almost got killed in Nigeria fighting the military. I mean, I was on the street and I almost got shot and killed for the military to leave. But I have learned. It takes God to effect real changes. Because many of these changes we're talking about are only going to come when hearts are changed. Lift up your hands and let's pray. You shall know the truth. If you continue my words, if you abide in all, you are my disciples indeed. And the last verse, verse 32. And then you will get to know the truth. And the truth will set you free.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.